podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is the View from the Bridge official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. It's a podcast for the 2nd of December 2020. My name's Patrick Smith. It is 20 years since your Belfast Giants first took to the ice at the Odyssey Arena, facing the Ayr Scottish Eagles in a game that would start off 20 years of fun, thrills, spills, championships, and a lot more beside. We're going to have a chat about that. We're going to chat about a lot of stuff that's been happening over the last number of months and where we are now currently with hockey. And let's start by introducing my three good friends who are always joining us here on A View from the Bridge. We'll start off with Mr. McGimsey. How are you?
Not too bad, Paddy. Enjoying lockdown 2.0.
That's it. Tier 3 coming your way.
Looking forward to getting out of it into lockdown 3.0 on Thursday.
Yeah. Tier 3 coming my way as well. Mr. Kitchen, how are you?
I'm very well, Patrick. It's a wee bit different in Northern Ireland. Apparently there is a lockdown, but I don't think anybody's paying any attention to it.
It's all very strange, isn't it? And Mr. Neil, keeping well?
Oh, boys, yeah, all the better for seeing you. Christmas has officially arrived in Belfast. I don't know if you can see over my shoulder, but there's wee Goliath glowing away in the distance there.
The lights. We can see the lights. It's a bit
lit them up for Christmas this evening. So apparently Christmas has arrived. I'm not feeling too Christmassy, but there you go.
Is that saving you putting up a Christmas tree?
I wish, mate. I know that thing's going to be up here by this weekend. Not a Christmas guy.
We bought ours on Monday.
I know we've got lots to talk about, but let's talk about this first and foremost. What do you mean you're not a Christmas guy?
Not a Christmas guy, mate.
It's the only month of the year I enjoy. Maybe July.
Yeah.
March.
March.
Just not a Christmas guy, mate.
Come on, get with the spirit.
It's the fact that it starts on like the 1st of November now as well. We don't need that much Christmas, and it's
if you speak to Tesco, it starts. I think it was the 14th or 15th of October. They started seeing selection boxes.
It's also day one of Armageddon, and I'm on the lookout.
It's the same, you know. Easter's what, 14 weeks ago? 14 weeks of pancake cheese, and they're already selling flour and eggs.
Ridiculous, mate.
Ridiculous. The archives.
That's good. I'm gonna use that, mate. Thank you very much. Right, I'm gonna start off, Joe. Before we get stuck in, I just want to make two comments. First of all, since we last met back in September, on the 20th of October, of Using the Bridge passed its 15 years of being a podcast. We got some very nice comments back, and I'd just like to thank everybody. It's been a wonderful 15 years. Who thought that, you know, 15 years? That's more than half my life. And you know, it's who would have thought that we'd still be going talking nonsense?
How much more?
A lot more. And secondly, I'm going to start the podcast just by saying a big thank you to Mark Brooks. Mark Brooks, part of the Belfast Giants organization for 20 years, from stick boy to the main man behind the scenes. He's been very good to us here on A View from the Bridge. He's been excellent for the Belfast Giants. He leaves for Pastures New at Ulster Rugby. And I just want to go just quickly round the board here. And Davey, you know, Brooksy, been, as I said, one of the real stalwarts of the Giants for so many years.
Unbelievable. Whenever you look back, when I look at the minute we're obviously at our 20th sort of our homecoming to the Odyssey, our 20th anniversary, and you think back, you look at all the pictures of this wee lad behind the bench helping Blatch out, and that's all he was. He was just a boy, and he's came through, and you see that generation of pictures that he's come up with, some of the hairstyles and some of the pictures he's been involved in, and every win that the Belfast Giants have ever had has had Mark Brooks involved in it. It's going to be a change for the whole organisation not to have him there. He's obviously stepped up into that back of house position over, you know, the last load of years, and as you say, he's been absolutely instrumental in what we've been able to achieve as a podcast, because you know yourself, whenever I got involved however many years ago, we started a WhatsApp group with Brooksy, and he's on a Monday morning, he's coming to us going, what do you need from me? It used to be we we used to hassle the organisation about this is what we need, and then when things became more official, they were coming to us, and that was led by Brooksy. Every week, every new player that signs for the Belfast Giants gets an email introducing them to the club and to us by Brooksy. So he's been instrumental in the podcast being anywhere near successful. So I can only thank him for that and for everything that he's done for the organisation for 20 years, and wish him well with his new club. I'm sure he'll still be a Belfast Giants fan and getting down the Odyssey whenever he can, and hopefully it'll not be too long before we can all do the same.
Absolutely, Simon.
I think the only thing he hasn't done is actually been a player. you know, you talk about him being a stick boy, but he was a water boy before he was a stick boy. And as Davey says, you know, he's helped us out immensely throughout the tenure that he was there, and he's moved on to Ulster Rugby now, which is, you know, it's a big job he's going to have down there as well. But, you know, he's well equipped for it, and he's got a lot of contacts, and I wish him the best of luck. And as I say, he definitely will be missed, because when you look at what parts of the game day, I know obviously Glover ran deep game day behind the scenes, but, you know, Brooksy was heavily involved in a lot of stuff on game day as well. And then obviously the media side of things, and you know, there's an awful lot of stuff there that he did, and probably a lot of people didn't realise that he actually did do until he's gone. So wish him the best of luck. Rugby's not my thing, like, but I'm sure I'll see him down at the SSE Arena at some point.
Joel,
would you like the story of how I met Mark Brooks?
Always.
So the year was 2012. The Belfast Giants were in Landshut, Germany. You may remember, or those that were there may remember, a fairly festive evening after the last Giants game in the courtyard outside the arena. I was informed by someone who will remain nameless, Glover, that there was a gathering at the team hotel afterwards. So I was encouraged to spend quite a lot of money on a taxi to the hotel, which was nowhere near the arena. Everybody was fairly lubricated at this stage. Arrived back to the hotel just to find everybody passed out. I mean, it was curtains. Everybody was donezo. So Glover's like, come on, we'll go to my room, blah, blah, blah. Into the room, blast open the door, we're all in. Yeah! Mark Brooks is in his bed, fast asleep. He doesn't say a single word. I've never met him before. He stands up, grabs his duvet, looks us all in the eyes, and just walks straight out of the room.
Where did he go?
I have no idea. To this day, don't know. But that was the start of a very beautiful friendship. I got a chance to speak to him after that, and he's somebody that I call a very good friend now, and I feel privileged to do so. The team's loss is definitely Ulster's gain. He's an incredible servant of the club, and has been an infectiously positive energy as well. Just somebody who has always kind of injects that energy and positivity into a game night. And just to echo what Davey says, you know, if any of us land down into the tunnel after a game, the first person you see is Brooksy, and the first thing he asks is, who do you need? And that's literally every single night without fail. You get who you need. He goes and badgers and chases. So, we always say the club is bigger than any one individual, and there are many chapters still to write with the Giants. But I'll miss seeing my mate about on a game night, and I hope he's not a stranger.
Absolutely. Best wishes to Brooks. Hey, right, current scenario, gents. There is no hockey to be played. There is no hockey being played. And it's, you know, it's a very strange scenario that we find ourselves in at the start of December. However, in the last couple of weeks, there has been green shoots and maybe a light at the end of the tunnel, not just from a COVID scenario. We all know with regards to vaccines and what might be around the corner, but we're sticking to sport. And in the last couple of weeks, we learned that the Elite League, or at least the English teams in the Elite League, have been granted £4 million. Now, there are caveats to that £4 million and how they're going to use it. And there's still a bit of grayness as to whether that's a £4 million grant or a loan or whatever. But by the by, where we are now is we have a lot of players who are scattered about Europe. Some not, some have stayed here. But do you see, Davey, I'll start with you, do you see light at the end of the tunnel with regards to the return of hockey? We have had in the last week Neil Black speaking to BBC Nottingham and Chris Ellis about the potential of a short tournament involving six teams. Where do you think hockey stands at this moment in time?
I certainly think that the English teams, with this money that they can potentially realise from the government, and I would assume the sixth team would be Cardiff. I can't imagine the Scottish teams or Belfast being anywhere near involvement in any of this. The root of all evil, it'll be very interesting how they decide that money needs spent or split more than likely not going to be an even cut across the teams. So I don't see, from a government, from a taxpayer, why that money would go into running a 5-team tournament that fans wouldn't be allowed to go to. The revenue capture is obviously going to be webcasts and stuff. The number of people that are going to tune in for Guildford against Coventry to try and bring back £4 million into the coffers. I don't know. I thought that when they suspended the season, and if you're not going to get all your teams back involved, then you should just leave it that way. I don't think that as a league, it's good optically to go with, you know, two-thirds or not even two-thirds of the league. You know, 6 out of 10 teams will go and have our own little tournament here, probably for the same prize, and say, oh, we, you know, you talk about Celtic's asterisks last year. That is a massive asterisk beside anybody's.
Nobody's talking about Celtic's asterisks.
No, we're talking about them plenty this week, let me tell you. the old Lurgan flop. But
he's been given the backing tonight, man.
Oh no, long may it continue.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Okay, back to hockey. You know, I don't see how you can have an elite league or call it anything like an elite league if it's 6 out of 10 teams. If they want to have some sort of shortened turn, it's got to be, I suppose, with GB in mind, it's got to be about preparing players for what potentially will be a World Championships at the end of the season. There's no other reason for me, for the Elite League, putting any sort of product together this season apart from to try and prepare the British players. And if that's what it's about, well, then it could be money well spent. They're in the top division in world hockey. We would like to see them stay in there, and therefore we need to find teams for them. The British players that are currently playing in Belfast then go and try and get jobs with these teams in the short term. I just don't know. Simon's, you know, nodding here, so he's obviously got an opinion on it as well, but I just don't see the value in it unless it's purely to push GB forward.
Is that it, Simon? It's the fact that, you know, is there a market for it, first of all? You know, as Davey says, are you going to tune in for Coventry against Guildford and pay money to watch that? Or is it just a case of, you know, we need this money, and where does it get invested?
I think it's a massive, massive grey area. You know, would I watch Coventry Guildford? Yeah, probably would, because there's nothing else on. You know, and yes, you know, Davey mentioned earlier when he was starting off there about which way the money should be split. And it's, you know, that's the most important thing. The bottom line is there better be a league to come back to, whatever happens. But there's no way this can be classed as an elite league, or EIHL. There's absolutely no way you can do that. It's not. It's absolutely not. Whether they go in and they put together something like a, you know, a Super League, and that's fine, go ahead. It's not going to be that super. There's only going to be 5 or 6 teams involved in it. But the one thing that Davey mentioned was the Giants players, the British players from the Giants team going across and playing for somebody else. If the World Championships go ahead, Davey, which I'm not 100% sure is still going to be the case. There's, yeah, you know, they're
big question marks.
I mean, I know they've cancelled some other international tournaments already, and and I know there was whispers about it moving it to another country and stuff, but they're still a long way off. And you know, they were cancelled in 2020. If they're cancelled 2021, you look at the guys who aren't playing. I know the streaming series went on there with Sheffield, Steel Dogs, Swindon, and Milton Keynes. You know, I didn't watch any of it. If I hadn't, I was doing stuff at those times, and I just never got a chance to watch them. But I haven't actually seen any clips of it on social media. I didn't see anything, you know, like goals or any hits or anything, you know, just to try and promote it. But if that was the case, and everything's just going to be done online, and you know, listening to Neil Black talking yesterday about something that could happen, and the what I took from it was he's they're going to make their own bubble.
And, a lot of money.
You know, but that's the thing, you know, if they're going to take over a hotel, and they're going to have 4, 5, or maybe even 6 teams all staying in a hotel, all players, all management.
6 hotels?
Well, that's what it is, you know. That is a hell of a lot of organising. You know, all you think of all these players and all these staff members that need COVID tests 2-3 times a week. And you look at the Premier League. It was just announced today that Newcastle Their match with Aston Villa has been Friday night's been cancelled because of too many positive COVID tests. We're not the NHL. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a massive, massive thing that they're trying to put together. And to be honest, I genuinely do wish them luck. I hope that it can happen, and I hope that there's no positive test and everybody comes out the other side looking forward to the season 22. Isn't that what it is? I'm lost. As I say, it's a massive, massive undertaking to try and put something like this together. If it happens, then fair play to them. Would I want our Belfast Giants players who are looking to come back next year participating? Absolutely. I would never try and stop anybody to go and play hockey. If they want to play hockey, then by all means, go ahead. But it's got to be done 100% correctly. And that's the bit that I would sort of hesitate to be put in place. As I say, we're not the NHL.
Cool. Simon's nailed it. There's so many variables in this, not least the getting COVID, not least, you know, if, let's say, one team goes down with it on test, you know, it's all well and good testing everybody twice a week, but if you end up with a team being out and then you're trying to change it all up and the bubble gets burst and all that sort of that, so that's got problems. You also bring the point that he said it's going to be a 10 import league. Well, where are these 10 imports going to come? So that's, you know, that's 60 imports we're going to be pulling into this league. From where? A lot of the imports, as you've seen, Joey Martin's gone to Norway. You know, you've got all these all from various different teams, all guys playing right across Europe. I mean, back in North America, the lower leagues possibly taking place. There are so many variables to start on in January, February. It's very difficult to see how this sort of shortened, curtailed 12-week league could actually happen.
Yeah, look, I always try to be the first to be optimistic about stuff. I don't like just dumping on something for the sake of it. But I think Simon is 100%. You know, I've got good friends in Edmonton, which was obviously one of the host cities for the Stanley Cup this past year. And the description of the undertaking to host those teams a bubble isn't just you stay in your hotel room for 10, 11 weeks. You need, access to facilities, laundry. You need catered for, you need everything that you need to live. And that's multiplied by however many players. There are just so many mitigating factors, like, you know, you've got them all locked in there. Can you really expect guys at our level of hockey to be cooped up in confines like that? That's going to be like prison for however long it takes to play this out. You've got the
in
risk.
All fairness, if it's going to be head and shopping, you'd be better off in prison.
if you've been in the what's it called, the Holiday Inn Express beside the Sheffield Arena, you'll know it's pretty much prison with vending machines. If COVID gets into that, you're absolutely rookie. But look, I guess we are speculating here without the full picture. And if there's one thing I know from my world of work, that if there's government money involved, there's a big ball of red tape involved. So there are conversations going on that we're not privy to. We don't understand that there must be a reason for this kind of on the ball thinking. I think Simon's absolutely bang on, to be honest. Your initial question, Paddy, was how close do we seem to a return to hockey? And I guess to take it again into my kind of day job, I'm beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel for the first time, really, in the past couple of weeks. I feel like there's monstrous challenges for the industry, the hospitality and the sort of business of mass gatherings. You know, that's what the SSE arena is. You can't get around it. It is the business of gathering large quantities of people together, and it's the one thing you can't do. But there seems to be an optimism that comes sort of spring, whenever the season changes, whenever vaccinations start ramping up. I know as well, without kind of giving too much away of what's happening, because it's not mine to give away, I know that there's an awful lot of work going on that we would be directly involved in between ourselves and agencies like the Trust and the Waterfront, the Ulster Hall, pubs, live music venues, the whole spectrum. of entertainment venues. And there's a lot of work going on about what that safe return to events looks like. That gives me optimism just in itself, that the people who know the best are doing that kind of work and looking at, you know, routes back to gathering people together and staggering it and stuff. I'd be surprised if hockey fell by the wayside next season. I do, and I hope I don't look back on this and regret it, but I do think that we'll see hockey in Belfast from next season. We just have to hunker down between us here and just get through the next however many months until those green shoots that you're talking about start. You you talk about, sorry, start appearing. But for the first time since March, I would say that I'm very cautiously optimistic, and I would see a little pin of light at the end of the tunnel.
I also find it interesting that you look at the amount of people who are talking about the potential and look at what Neil Black was talking to Ellie about and the potential of what could return. And then you see people who are very excited about it, and understandably so. You know, hockey's part of all our lives and has been for a long time. And when it's taken away, you think to yourself, you know, I find myself November, December, where I'm normally going or watching games or whatever, and you find yourself having to do new things. Like, I'm having to put up with my daughter watching Strictly Come Dancing. You know, it's just we've all got our crosses to bear, but it's. Nobody wants hockey back more than we all do, and when there is that sort of suggestion that it could come back, there's everybody jumping on it thinking, yeah, definitely. I fear that Neil Black's chat yesterday will get people's hopes up, and when the practicalities of it actually come to the floor, the costs of it come to the floor, and it doesn't, or potentially doesn't happen for that very reason, then it's just going to be another kick in the teeth of the elite league that they look to be trying to do something and they're not able to do it. I agree that we all want something back. I agree that something back would be great, but that money could be invested a lot better within the league to build infrastructure, to build branding, to help teams that we all know the teams are struggling for money. And we all know that the game is struggling for money and that rinks are struggling for money. That money could be better used. And if there are caveats to play, then find another way. You know, there has to be. I mean, that money could go so well to building the elite league into something much bigger. And it'd be disappointing if it was ended up in being a 6-team, 12-week tournament, which has been touted, spending so much money and putting players up to bring them in from North America as 10 imports, only for people to have to stream it. It just wouldn't, you know, when we could have so much more come September.
I'd love to see what if there are costings and how advanced they are, or is it still pie in the sky? I think we can be forgiven for being slightly pessimistic here. We're talking about the league that did a Challenge Cup draw out of a shopping bag and then inadvertently pulled a snooker ball out live on a webcast. I mean, this is the level that we have been known to play at through the years. So yeah, forgive me for being pessimistic.
No, nobody's under any doubt, really.
I mean, I have to. If you look at it from, I know what Joel's joking about, and we did take the mic right out a lot. Like, but when you look back, what was it, 4, maybe 5, 6 years ago now? Probably doesn't seem like it, but you know, when you look back at that, and you look to where we are now, and you've got, you know, you've got Mike Hicks doing what he's doing. You've got, I forgot his name. Luke, I know you're listening in. You know, you've got Luke doing what he's doing, and the league definitely has got a lot more professional. We've made massive strides over the last few years. There's a lot of good guys within, you know, the organizations that are on the group. There's also a few other people. But the main thing about it is, as I say, this is if they're talking about having their own bubble and putting, for argument's sake, say 17 players on 6 different teams, that's 108 people. Add into that, you've got the off-ice teams for each, or off-ice groups for each team. You know, you're talking, for argument's sake, 200 people. Then the staff, and you know, you're still going to have the staff in the arena, but they're not going to stay in a hotel. They're going to go home at the end of the night. If they're going to come in to basically do the Zamboni the next morning for each game or whatever it may be, you know, you're asking a massive, massive undertaking, and that's the bit that I would struggle but trying to make sure that everything's going to be done 100% right. I genuinely wish them the best of luck. Do I think it's going to happen? Not that way. I don't think. I mean, even if you do the quick maths, if you've got, you know, say 15 rooms for each team per night, and you're getting them at a dirt cheap rate of £50 a night, £750 team, that's £4,500 a week per team. And then you add all that up as well. It's massive, massive amounts of money.
Well, you've got a direct line to your very good friend Jason Taff Ellery out there in Germany. What are they doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Taff, they're still, the whole country's on lockdown in Germany until the 20th of December. So he's in his own wee bubble. They've got, you know, the guys have got their own apartments granted, but there's only certain things that they're allowed to do. So Taff's got to go to work. He's allowed to go and get his shopping. He's allowed to go back home again. But he is, in fairness, he's spending most of the time cooking for Pete Russell. When he's not at the ring. Pete Russell's loving him having them there. But, you know, that's exactly the same thing. You know, they've had so many different outbreaks of all the different teams in Germany. He was supposed to play last Friday and Sunday, just passed. Both games were cancelled because the two teams that they were supposed to play had outbreaks of COVID. So they then, because those teams weren't playing, there was other teams who also couldn't play, so they just basically mixed and matched, and that's what they've tried to do. And they ended up having two games to play, Friday at home and Sunday away, 3 points out of four. And he's loving it. Like, he's, you know, he's half just can't sit still. And the first 3 months or 4 months that were happening here, we sort of had our own bubble, just me and him. He stayed over here a couple of nights, and you know, and he's such a good lad, but he was just kept. He was bored stiff, absolutely bored stiff.
Yeah,
now he's sort of getting to do what he wants to do. But, you know, again, you know, there's talk about the DEL training camps coming back tomorrow, I think it is, actually, the second. Tomorrow.
That's what they're saying.
So are they all going to happen? I don't know. Are they going to get the hockey at that level with no doors open for fans coming in? Again, right now, there's no fans being allowed in the DEL2, so I don't think, why should they allow DEL1 without DEL2 as well?
Yeah, interesting scenario. Do you have any final thoughts?
Like what I said at the start there, like, what are they going to play for? Are they going to play for the Elite League? Or are they playing for the COVID Cup as their prize money? You know, are people getting, are teams...
Oh, I would assure you there's going to be prize money, David.
Oh, yes.
There has to be.
Yeah. Is it going to be better prize money than there's... potentially for actually winning the look, if there's money to be got, let's hope they can grab as much of it as they can. However, I'm a Belfast Giants fan. I really don't care if they play or not, because I'll have no interest in it. I can guarantee you now, I will not switch a single webcast on, because I've no interest in the teams that are playing, unless there's maybe potentially Belfast Giants players. In all likelihood, who's going to end up there? Maybe Laker, because he's living over in England. I don't know whether Swinney's home or away.
Laker played for the Steelers. The Steel Dogs, actually.
He's playing for the Steel Dogs. So the likelihood is, if a little league sort of thing got going. Yeah. So those guys that are English-based, they're probably going to pick themselves up a team for whatever. I just haven't really even read about the logistics. Are they just going to hire one arena? Or are they intending they'll have all their own arenas?
In my opinion, it's a kite that's gone.
Surely it would have to be a singular arena. The cost of getting, or it'll be in a nice Sheffield, or it'll be in like the Nottingham Bowl rather than the. Yep, sorry, I'm getting the giddy up here. I understand. You know, because there's no way the Giants can't be involved in this, because we can't afford to have the SSE just open for the ice. Without concerts and all, the SSE won't be opening again. So until that happens, there's no hockey.
There's no ice at the minute anyway. Christmas appeal 2020.
So my final thought is the fact that I think it's a kite. I don't think there's been anything. I think that, you know, Neil Black has had a chat with Chris Ellis and put that out there to see what the response is, and to see if things can be pushed into some sort of tournament, to spend that money to get some sort of tournament. Whether it happens or not, I guess time will tell. But let's move on, gentlemen.
Quickly before you go. Obviously,
let's not move on then. Come on, let's go back.
Under the Barnett formula, the Scottish teams and the Iron team and the Belfast Giants are all supposed to be petitioning government for their share. You know, if Sport England were giving out £4 million, X amount of pounds has come to Northern Ireland for on a pro rata. Whether or not the Belfast Giants get a pro rata, I can't see, you know, a significant amount of money. If you're saying there was £4 million between five teams, somebody quickly do that.
£10 million was announced for Sport NI, full stop.
Yeah. So can you imagine the Belfast Giants getting $800,000
of that? What a chance.
You know, so...
No hope. So let's see. let's go on to one of the main point of the evening and the main point of the podcast, which is the fact that the 2nd of December is 10 years. I wish it was 10 years. 20 years since the Belfast Giants first took to the ice at the Odyssey Arena in Belfast against the Ayr Scottish Eagles. They were defeated 2-1 that evening, but we've had 20 solid years. 19 and a curtailed season.
Close enough. I'm going to jump in here.
Go on.
I think it was a stroke of genius that the Giants celebrated 20 years last year.
True story. People chirped that.
They must have used something was coming.
Are you telling me that Brooksy had had a trip out to Wuhan, knew what was coming? Unbelievable. And then he's done a bunk.
He did say, remember last year he had an operation? I don't think he did. I think he was away to China. China.
Yeah, that's it. China. He got himself out of Wuhan, knew what was coming, came back and said, we need to do this now. Dear. Anyway. A 2-1 defeat. Let's move on. A 2-1 defeat that evening to the Irish Scottish Eagles, and has led us to where we are now. Championships, trophies galore, fighting at the top of the league. But let's go back 20 years. Joel, let's go back 20 years. Davey McGimsey. Behind the scenes, obviously, we've been doing a little bit of work towards another podcast, which will follow on from this one, in which we'll be chatting to some of the great names from that night, both on and off the ice. But Davey, what did that game 20 years ago mean to you?
Well, I guess, you know, we've been very, very fortunate through this podcast to be able to talk to a lot of the guys that played that very first, and Bob Zeller and Albert Masland and all, and that'll come in that podcast. And it's absolutely fascinating, spine tingling to relive those days. I was really fortunate. I know Neil, the coach, Russell will be listening. He loves my old story about going to the Oval on a Saturday afternoon, getting a Mission Hall bus, jumping off the ice ball and going, because that's when I got my hockey fix, watching Simon Kitchen on a Saturday. Big man there, Northern Ireland international. So I had a little bit of hockey before the Giants came along, so it was natural that, you know, you wanted to feed. I was very fortunate as well in my day job. Joe's talking about his day job. I was a quantity surveyor, and I worked on the build of the arena, the Millennium Project, as it was back then. And, you know, as it was obviously going to be an ice hockey team, because I knew through my involvement and work, the guys were going out to Florida. It's actually based on some rink in Florida. I can't remember. I'll have to try and find out. But it's almost an exact replica of a Florida rink somewhere. And it became more and more exciting, and the buzz became around town. And, you know, you only need to look back. I was reading the old Champions in the Land of the Giants book. I read it from time to time. And all that buzz about Hughes being, you know, you couldn't get a ticket for the Belfast Giants back at the start. Simon probably could. He knew people. But
Simon doesn't remember the game, but we'll come back to that.
You know, we were very fortunate that this team came along when it did. We did our little documentary, Paddy, and we talked about it. And the city needed something. And talking to Bob and Albert, and say, well, let them speak for themselves. But it allowed marginalised people to come to games. It allowed women to have sporting event that they could go to, families. And then all the cliches about places where Protestant, Catholics, and et cetera, a game for all, game for everyone, love the Giants, everyone's equal, all that good stuff. You know, but that was the social project that was behind it as well. But, you know, we've just been really blessed that it's lasted 20 years. You know, after that sort of initial ISL days where it was really, you were four lines deep and you had high quality players here, massive budget, massive bills, of course, probably many, many hundreds of thousands of pounds of people's own money went into the propping it up for as long as it did, you know. But let's not go past the 20th anniversary. You know, first goal, our big mate Paxton, first fight with Bosey, all these guys that we get to talk to. It was just an incredible time for Belfast, where we're coming out of the war, and you know, things were brightening up, and the Belfast Giants were the first real beacon of hope. And it's just something that's a beacon that's been lit for 20 years now and still burning bright.
Simon, break us down that game 2-1. How did you see that game progress? You know, it was a very end-to-end battle. Give us your thoughts on your exact thoughts on how that game played out.
That game progress?
I was blocked that night. I remember, I mean, Davey's touching on, you know, obviously the build of the arena itself. I was lucky enough to watch the players back then training at the Donald Ice Bowl every day. And, you know, you're not seeing them in the arena, the SS arena, because it wasn't built that stage. They played, 15 or 16 games on the road before they hit the arena. And just watching the quality that the guys had and the speed that it was going at. And I know Davey touched on, he used to come up and watch us. Like, we were playing in slow motion compared to some of these guys. Like, you know, we're skating in treagle most of the time. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I think ours was a wee bit more exciting because you'd plenty more local players playing in it, and you'd guys there who just wanted to, you know, rip somebody's head off and get away with it, which happened quite a lot. But, you know, once or twice. But, you know, the whole season itself, the build-up to it and everything that went with it, and then you walk into the arena that night, and just, I mean, I was talking about Jason Bowen last week when we were doing the interviews, and Posey was saying, you know, that he remembers going and there's somebody's stick bounced off the glass or something, and everybody's up in the air. And then, you know, a puck smashes off the glass, which was that you've got the net right in front of you, and the puck deflects over, it sits somebody in the corner, and everybody jumps up, and, you know, and then obviously, you know, when Bozy had that fight a couple of minutes into this, and that's in the warm up, by the way, and everybody's going nuts. And then when you get the arena full and you see the people going into it, and as Davey says, you know, it was really tough to get a ticket back then as well. But lucky enough to be there the first night, and you know, I can't remember the name of that reporter that said, you know, it would never last. Are we honest with ourselves in thinking that it would last 20 years? You know, it's a big question. And if you'd asked me back then, I probably would have said, I don't think it will last. You know, and I'm so glad that it has, because it's given us so many, you know, moments over the last 20 years that you can look back on, and this is our team. You know, maybe he keeps on saying it being about, you know, he's over in Bristol now, and it's still Belfast, and it's his team, and it's the guys representing his city. And he's absolutely right. And, you know, when you look back at the 20 years and the people who have represented us and went out on the ice, there's maybe one or two that you just look back on and go, well, how did he even get a chance of doing that? But, you know, it's been 20 very, very exciting years. And here's hoping that we can get the 21st up and running, because I really am bored right now. I was in the arena tonight. You know, Joel and I were earlier on. Jasmine was with us doing the Christmas appeal, doing some bits and pieces, volunteering it. And even just standing in the middle of the ring and looking up and looking at the new banner that's put up there with just Big Champions 1920 as well. You know, it's absolutely brilliant. So, you know, they've got champions. A new banner up there recommended. You're obviously recognizing the achievement and the second year that we won the trophy.
Yeah, that's it. Brilliant. Joel, obviously, I'll come to you as sort of a legacy thing. You know, would you commit to the fact that it is now 20 years and we have had 20 years of enjoyment from this team going leading back? But when you, as a fan, you obviously had an early experience, then you went away and then came back. So looking back to those first teams, what do you think of those? Do you, because there's no real YouTube or any sort of videos to watch of those games.
Yeah, look, I actually, you know, I often joke about my obvious youth compared to you guys, but my dad was actually, he worked in Belfast City Centre Management at the time, of the completion of the Millennium Project. And because of that, then we would have, you know, had, you know, the odd night and it would have got tickets and, you know, we had jerseys and there was the odd kind of game puck came our way. I was 12, 13 at the time. So I wouldn't say I was particularly invested in what was going on, but I just knew that what I was looking at was fantastic entertainment. And it's lovely to look back on that now and then see it 20 years later with the kind of position of privilege that we all have. I can now sit in the arena and look at those kids having a blast and understand what that felt like and how that's still a very important thing for those kids. But, you know, just it's you referenced there the initial purpose of the team and sort of the catalyst for Belfast Millennium Project being that community intervention and bridging gaps between, you know, a very, very different Belfast back then. It's wonderful now to sit 20 years later and just to see what the club has become so far beyond that really simplified explanation. You know, we all got the chance to speak to the Chuck-a-Puck Canuck, Dr. Eric Lepp, a year or two ago, who was doing a lot of studying on the Giants and their place within peace and reconciliation and blah, blah, blah. And really the conclusion that he got to after having conversed with however many hundreds of people are in the arena is that you just can't define what the Giants do for the city. They are so many things for so many people, so far beyond what they were initially conceived and brought to life for. And I think that what we're looking at is a living, breathing thing. And I think that with this lockdown and March being a long way, you know, it seems like 2 years and it seems like 2 weeks at the same time. Don't be worrying about the wee Giants. Nobody's forgotten about them. as Simon said, you know, walking into that arena, the hairs on my arms were up, you know, just to be in that space again, and to see the contrast between what it would usually be used for at this time of year, and with it now being a food and toy donation bank, it says it all about where we're at. But look, not to use a pun, but it is a sleeping giant. Everybody hasn't forgotten what it means to them. As soon as it's time to go again, everybody will be back again. I don't know if you could sum it up better than that, in that, you know, something like that is taken away from you. But the very, very second that it's time to go again, people will be reignited, and instantly that love for the city and that love for what the club does for so many people is still right there. And it's just waiting to be opened up again.
I'm going to tell you one quick story that'll come in the podcast with Albert and Bob and all those guys. Bob Zeller was so determined that there was going to be an ice hockey team in the arena. It was going to be the anchor tenant. There was three developers that had a potential of getting the deal to be the anchor tenant or whatever. So on the first day that they went down to meet up, Bob Zeller was with that team, went and met the other stakeholders, put his pitch across for an ice hockey team. There's no name or anything, but the ice hockey team was going to be a tenant there. I can fill this, or not fill this place, but I'll have 30 nights a year, maybe twice a week, that you will be able to have 5,000 people in this, car parking, concessions, merchandise, blah, blah, blah. So Donna's pitch went away. The next day, the next meeting set up with the next developer and their proposal, and their guy is Bob Zeller. And the third day, the third people that want to be in the arena turn up, and their guy is Bob Zeller. And they said to him, "Were you not here yesterday and the day before?" He said, "Yes, there's going to be a hockey team in this arena." He was on every single developer team that was going. There was only ever one project going into that. And his vision and his drive, along with Albert Maslam, made this happen. Many have came and picked up the baton. The Jim Gillespie's revered, and rightly so.
Rightly so.
And there's so many people you could talk about back through our days, Richard Gowdy and John Elliott and all those guys that did their bit to keep this organisation going, you know, along the way. But those guys right at the very start, without Albert, without Bob, without Jim, Killer, Brooksy, all those people, this has been a story of people that have came along 20 years and made this happen. And it's the people that Joel's talking about, the 13, 14-year-olds and all, that are going to keep this going for the next 20 years.
Yes.
Maybe. Very good point, mate. You know, you throw in Glover in there as well. You throw in, you know,
oh, yeah.
Michael Barr. There's so many people who have been part of TAF, you know, people who've been part of this organization for the, you know, so large a chunk of those 20 years. And you're right, it is a story about people. You've had a chance to chat. You had a good chat tonight with a big group. We stuck a fleet out there as who you were chatting to, and that, whether that will make there, we don't know. And Simon, you've had the chance to talk with Bosey and with Shane Johnson. Joel, have you had a chance to chat with anybody yet?
I have Mr. Jason Wright lined up imminently, and I'm currently chasing another few, among those being Jerry Keefe, who I had the chance to speak to at the Friendship 4 last year. So looking forward to it. Just need to, it's a lot harder to find these boys whenever they're 20 years removed, let's say that.
That's it, I know. And I had a chance the other day to talk to Mark Cavlin, and there's so much enthusiasm for these boys and memories. And I say, you know, your chat with Bosey, I've listened to Simon, and it's fantastic. And, you know, and I think, you know, Davey's right, the last line of the interview hits you right in the gut. You know what I mean? And understandable. We'll leave that. That'll be part of the podcast. We'll be putting that out in the next week or so. It's called Belfast Giants and Odyssey, and it's going to be looking back at that game, the build-up to that game, and the legacy of the Belfast Giants 20 years ago, hearing from the people involved, both on and off the ice. I'm going to wrap it up here, boys. I'm just going to ask quickly, any other business? I know that you guys, maybe one of you guys, want to talk about the drive that's happening down at the SSE Arena right now.
Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, you've probably seen through the Giants social media channels, Belfast Christmas Appeal 2020, massive food bank and toy donation drive, and the SSE Arena is being used as a hub, with the Giants being a major supporter of it. And, oh, look at that. Is that wood?
Just to clarify for anybody listening on the podcast, it's Kevin Real's old
stick. I keep forgetting whether we're doing a video one or not.
Simon, Kevin Real's old hockey sticks. It says K Real on the side of it.
Anyway, the Christmas Appeal 2020, SSC Arena being used as a headquarters for a massive food bank toy donation drive. Just check the Giants socials, check Adam Keefe, check mine, check Simon, whoever. We'll point you in the right direction. Still a lot of help needed there. It's been a terrible year for so many people, and it speaks volumes that the arena is what's needed to make something like that happen logistically. So really, really important if you can get behind it. Check social media, check the Belfast Giants social media. You'll find out everything that you need to know.
Simon, Davey, anything to add?
I just want to, not on the Let's Says talk, finalise about that one. I would like to thank everybody that got involved with our last little collection for the homeless in Belfast. Laura Small, especially, who took the money that everybody donated so generously and went and got so much stuff for the homeless. Says is holding up the shirt there. I think that's going to Kieran Curry, is that his name?
He didn't send me the address.
Just knock at the door and ask, you support the Giants? Where's the shirt? if you don't, take it home. Just again, the generosity of the fans that help us every time we ask them to put their hands in their pockets. Simon, thanks for coming up with a prize out of your own collection there. It was very generous of you as well. So, you know, good luck with this one you're doing. I'm trying to do my own little one in Long Ashton here because I can't support the one in Belfast other than financially. So, you know, everybody do something to help somebody in need out this Christmas.
You're here. Simon, anything to add?
Again, just to touch on what Joel said, you know, if you can support it, by all means, go out and help out in any way you can. And just the last one, I know there's an awful lot of people who are struggling at this time of the year. And you know, that's just coming up to Christmas and they don't really have much on the plate. And you know, you knew every time you listen to the news now, it's somebody else is losing their job or businesses are going under. And it's absolutely awful. But one of the things that, if anybody is, you know, struggling or and they just need to have a chat, then, you know, again, we're all on social media. Just give us a private message. We'll give you a shout at some stage to see what the story is. And the last one is, as we shouted to my mate Blake, who's 19 months in hospital yesterday. You know, he's got out the odd day and stuff like that for his birthday and what have you. And I just hope he's okay. But, you know, we just don't get to see him. Apart from, you know, he sends his wee message every once in a while. So hopefully he's okay and everybody else is all right as well. But, like, again, I think the title of our show is, and you know, it's haven't gone away. You know, there's a long way to go before we can get back on the ice again. Davey loves it.
Davey McJumps his face.
It's but that's probably going to be a title. But no, listen, I hope everybody's keeping safe. That's the most important thing. It's just a real bad time at the minute, and hopefully, as Joel says earlier as well, you know, we might be able to say a bit of light at the end of the tunnel, and hopefully that tunnel does open up and become a lot lighter very soon.
Absolutely. I think that's a good way to end it. Gentlemen, we're recording this using the joys of Microsoft Teams, so it's good to see your backs again. Usually by this point, we've seen each other a couple of times, not least at the Friendship 4, which would have been last weekend. And another thing that's been sorely missed in this hockey calendar, and we look forward to it coming back next year. A fantastic fixture that everybody loves being involved in. But no doubt, as we say, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I've no doubt that sooner or later, we'll be back in that SSE arena enjoying the Belfast Giants winning against, who knows, everybody. Thanks very much for your time, boys.
Thank you, boys.
And on that note, wherever you are, we hope you enjoy your Christmas, we enjoy your new year. Stay happy, safe and well. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Podcast Network.